Hi, I'm Steve Lentini, and I'm your host for the podcast Different Thinking for Different Times, Season 5, Episode 5. In his book, Richard Rohr wrote, "Your sins and your gifts are but two sides of the same coins." The book is called Falling Upward. And what he talks about is that religion has long made people wrong for making mistakes and having faults, and that in order to fall upward and grow, we have to learn to accept our sins as part of the lesson, as gifts from God or the divine or the goddess. He goes on to say that most people don't lose their ego and their hubris that I've talked about so often here on the podcast until sometime between their maybe 35 and 50 or 55. And that most people finally wake up when they leave behind their ego and their hubris and they surrender to the idea that their life is God, that creative force that made this unimaginable universe, the superior reasoning power that created this unimaginable universe, as Einstein said when he was asked, what's your idea of God? So we forget because humans have that ego and that hubris, and we think we know it all and we know better. And we can see it so often in society today, large groups of people making each other wrong, when the fact is that it's all the divine working to wake them up to see the folly of their hubris and ego. Let me ask a few questions. Why are there so many people that have different opinions? I'm sure you know what's often been said about opinions in humans. Why are there so many different races? How about sexual preferences? How about people making each other wrong for being born the way they are, either male or female or from a certain race? What if they were given that assignment on this earth? In his book, Michael Newton, The Journey of Souls, talks about as he hypnotized people and got them into a deep state of, or a deep trance, he asked them about their past lives and discovered many had in fact had multiple lives. And when they died, he asked them where they went, and they report that they went to pure consciousness, one with everything and nothing, and that it was there they met their soul guides and determined what they would do on their next journey. Imagine that. It might be that people who were racist came back as the race that they hated the most or that they oppressed. It might be that someone who murdered someone came back to get murdered. I'm not going to answer all these questions here, but continued research on what happens after we leave this body, this very temporary physical body. I can tell you I experienced it. If you want to hear more about that, Dr. Penny Sartori did a research and wrote a book, The Wisdom of Near-Death Experiences. And Michael Newton's book, The Journey of Souls, leaves us with another idea. As I experience that there is something far greater than our own hubris and ego, and it takes quite a few years to get over it, because as young people, we think, of course, that we know better and we can do absolutely anything we set our mind to. And I'm not suggesting that we're not, or that we can't. What I'm suggesting is that it takes quite a few years to surrender the ego and the hubris, and that you don't know better, that somewhere you're full of shit, as I am. And that, as John Maxwell says, our job in this life is to get over ourselves and to begin to look at where we make others wrong. So, Richard Rohr says that your sin and your gifts are but two sides of the same coin. That for those people that try to live a perfect and exemplary life, many often to avoid the scorn of others, right? They want to maintain appearances. And if they make others wrong who are not in that same faith or that same religion or of the same beliefs, that it's that elitist thought or the idea of being perfect is holding them back from the growth they would gain if they would have a sense of humor about their mistakes and embrace the idea that God is never absent from this existence. So in the midst of your turmoil and troubles and challenges and all the places that you fall, that's God, the divine, the goddess, working to wake you up. The Buddha, the Brahma, the Abraham, the Muhammad, the Christ, all the divine energies, whatever you call them, are working for you. As Christ said, everything works together for good. Or as Muhammad said, what reaches you was meant for you, and what misses wasn't. In my book, Sage Advice, I have over 60 sages that give us wisdom for living. And if you bother to read the book, you can find it on Amazon, by the way. Look for Sage Advice, Wisdom of Living Throughout the Ages, Wisdom for Living Throughout the Ages. I forgot my own subtitle. It's fascinating to see the thread that runs from 600 BC all the way through to modern times, and some of the sages are still alive, as you'll note. I've got a list for the second book, the follow-up, Sage Advice 2, that right now is over 70 sages. And again, what I find in doing the research, it's astounding how much wisdom is the same wisdom that the prophets talked about. And of course, we have the hubris to think that there's a book written 2,000 years ago, or many books written 2,000 years ago, whatever your belief is the way. Do you think that an infinite superior reasoning power that created this unimaginable universe stopped speaking to us? That there aren't prophets that walk among us today that want us to overcome our small-minded thinking and to do good in this world? And partly doing good is having that energy of acceptance and letting God others have the journey that they were given or chose. Their journey is none of your business, as my journey is none of your business, and your journey is none of my business. And I had that wonderful gift, that wake-up call at 50, and learned when I was asked the question, stay or go, by the superior reasoning power, pure consciousness, by God, by the divine, I surrendered in that moment with thy will be done. And I was right back in my body. And here I am on this journey 20 years later, urging people to do the same, overcome first by noticing all the small-minded thinking you have and how your brain wants you to react in small-minded ways. Just ponder the idea that you live in something limitless. That means you can stretch into limitless thinking whenever you choose. Remember this. Your brain has a tactical advantage over you. It knows all your sins, all your faults, all your anxieties, all your fears. And when you listen to that little voice, you listen to the small-minded thinker. When you have an automatic reaction to that automatic thought, you're not operating in that realm of limitless possibilities. The realm that even physicists acknowledge. There's a pure potentiality in any moment. But often when we default to that small voice, we don't have the outcomes that we want, yet those are a gift. They're a gift to wake us up. The divine is never absent. You don't have to go searching for God or the divine. There is never a moment that your life is not walking in unison with this infinite divine God or goddess, Buddha or Brahma, the Christ consciousness. And every time you make others wrong because they don't agree with you, they don't follow your path, your religion, they don't have the same ideas as you. I mean, take today's example of separating everyone by race. God didn't intend that. The divine didn't intend that. Our job is to become accepting and loving of all. Here's something that my coach for 20 years wrote about that little voice. She wrote this in December 2010. I notice there is a voice in what seems to be my head. It is always talking to me. It is not me. I don't have to do what it says. That voice has nothing of value to add to a good life. I don't have to feel how it wants me to feel. Who I am is beyond that voice. I notice there is another voice of intuition that advises me. I know it by these traits. It never makes me wrong. It never makes anyone wrong. It never makes anything wrong. It only gives information. The more I ignore the first voice and only listen to the intuition voice, the better my life is. Thank you, Toni Stone, for that. She passed in August. It'll be 3 years. So I urge you to do some study about the infinite. Different ideas to challenge and stretch your own ideas that are small-minded. Maybe you'll just begin to notice where you have small-minded thinking. And what's interesting about today, it's the perfect time. I believe it's God, the divine, that supreme intelligence, that supreme superior reasoning power, providing us with all the evidence that we can overcome and grow, and making all the small-minded thinking in plain sight. So we can make a new choice. Will you surrender that hubris and ego? Or will you continue on the small-minded path, railing against everything and everyone that doesn't agree with you, or bothers you, or bugs you, instead of looking for the gift? Maybe you'll start asking, what is God asking me to learn here? How can I grow and become more limitless like the infinite creator? How can I live with the wisdom of all the sages from throughout the ages and the prophets that have suggested that we can grow and overcome all small-minded thinking, and that we live in a miracle? Don't forget, we live in a miracle. Any questions? I'm Steve at stevelentini.com. That's Steve at Steve, L as in Linda, E-N as in Nancy, T as in Tom, I-N-I.com. You want to be a guest? You want to come challenge me? You want to come agree with me? It doesn't matter. Whatever your journey is, I'll embrace it and love you for it. Remember, if you do come to challenge some of my ideas, I might ask you, does that sound like small-minded thinking? Thank you.